News, analysis, reports. It's the Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Anthony Cumia.
Thank you. I want to thank Alex Jones, of course. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to everybody over there, over here at InfoWars. I was listening to Alex before for the past probably a half hour. My God, the Kate Steinle debacle over there in California, it's heart-wrenching and infuriating. Just the sheer anger that you feel looking at something like this from beginning to end. The second we heard that she was murdered right there in front of her dad, I mean, just a beautiful, creative, contributing member of society. And it's rare that we see that in the news, that there's people that actually are doing something and have a family structure. She's out with her dad. How much more American can you get? Just a dad out with his daughter, beautiful day out by the water. It's just such an affront to everything that we hold dear to us in this country. And her life is snuffed out by someone that shouldn't even have been in this country. It's so easy to see. It's so simple for any rational human being to see the good and the bad in this, the right and the wrong, the just and the unjust that we see in this entire story from the moment she was killed until this very second. It's not difficult for somebody that has a rational thought process to see what's wrong here. Yet, he's not convicted of, like Alex said, even manslaughter. You pick up a gun and it accidentally discharges and goes into somebody. It's a pretty good case for manslaughter there. And that was the defense saying that's what happened, you know. And they don't even convict him of that based on what? Evidence? No. It's based on a thought process and a system over there in California, and especially the Bay Area, that says that that woman's life was not worth as much as the life of somebody who was deported 5 times, obviously a criminal, and they let him go because of that. This was based on race and culture and social status, all of it. The idea of justice and weighing evidence and doling out punishment for crimes committed had nothing to do with the legal proceedings in this case. It was all politically motivated. All motivated by the liberal agenda in California and especially up there in the Bay Area. And we saw the result of that. Is the entire country like this? Thank God, no. But there are many areas in this country that are completely the opposite of what America is supposed to be about. And when we come around, we get around to Christmas time, which we are, the Christmas season, we get nostalgic and we start looking back to our youth and remembering what America was back then, what celebrating Christmas was, how much it was all about family and common values in this country, a common culture. The idea that we all know as Americans what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, that made this country the place that people did want to come to. Because the population of this country, for the most part, believe me, I know there's been lunatics and fringists in America since its inception. But overall, when you think back to America, you think back to a time when there was a common thread through its people, a pride. There's a pride in your nation, in living in a place that is so amazing that people die trying to get here. And that's what held it together. That's what held the country together, because no matter how different we are, and when they talk about diversity, it's our differences, but we need a common factor in there. And that's what made us Americans. And that common factor was a basic value system and an ideology that we all held dear. And when you look at a case like Kate Steinle and see that there is a portion of this country willing to throw all that away, they don't want to be a part of the commonality and thread throughout the American people that made this country a cohesive unit. Because no matter where you come from and what your culture is and what you brought from the land that you came from or that your ancestors came from to this country, the one thing that brought it all together, that made us enjoy different foods and different interests and activities, religions, was that we were all doing it here in this amazing country where we weren't supposed to be persecuted for those things and those ideas, where there was a distinction between good and bad and what you should be doing and shouldn't be doing in this country. That is really going to the wayside. And that's the thing that people like myself and Alex and so many other people that call themselves patriots, and to the laughter of certain people, when you say you're a patriot and you're proud of your country, people laugh at that and joke about it, while the whole thing seems to be swirling down the toilet. It's because we have that. We remember that. We enjoyed it. I enjoy thinking back. And when you say make America great again, people laugh at that. Oh, Trump's little call sign. No, there was a greatness. And it had nothing to do with race or white supremacy. It had to do with that common thread that runs through us as Americans and always has, that ran through, that makes you do things for the greater good, Americans. And if we don't realize that very quickly, we're doomed as a once great nation. Going to be back in a matter of moments. Don't go anywhere. Anthony Cumia in at Infowars.com. Welcome. Welcome back, everybody. Anthony Cumia in at Infowars.com. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. This is my last broadcast here until the new year. So I want to talk a little bit about Christmas. I was saying just before that break, I get a bit nostalgic. I think everybody does. When you think of Christmas, it's one of those times of the year when you reflect on your youth. It was such a big part of being a kid, your parents, family, friends, and you tend to remember all the good things when you think back and wax fantastic about days gone by. But I think it truly is one of those times a year where you do remember a lot of good things that actually happened. And I recall Christmas back, I guess it was the 70s. I could even remember people, late 60s. I do remember late 60s. Maybe first inklings of thought process of your pal Anthony was probably 67, 68. I remember things like the Apollo program, and used to go to the gas station with my dad, and they would give away these little lunar modules that you'd put together like a little model. And oh, I loved that. I loved the space program and the pride it brought everyone here in the United States of America. Just those things from back then. And like I said before the break, when you say make America great again and people see hashtag MAGA and you get these people that laugh at it or call it racist or sexist. Oh, you want to go back to this time when people didn't have rights and people were being beaten in the streets and No. Every country, no matter how great it is, has had a period of time that people were being plagued by injustice. Doesn't matter how great the country was at the time, there were always problems. Nothing's perfect. And no one is talking about making America great again by returning to injustices and nightmares of civil rights infringements and whatnot. No, but when you say make America great again, you're talking about a greatness of the people of this country. And what I said before about a cohesive people. Not everyone thinking the same, but just having a common thread of being American and being proud of being American and who you are. Your culture, your background, everything that your ancestors brought here is part of what makes this country America. And I'm thinking back at Christmas, and I remember coming into New York City as a kid during Christmas with my family. And it was just an amazing thing, the way this city is decorated. And no matter how repulsive New York can be, there tended to be this niceness that went along with it. People were in there from the suburbs just seeing what New York City was like at Christmas time. Very romantic. It's been portrayed in so many movies and whatnot. And then I walk around now and I try to weigh some of the differences. Because as you know, Christmas in certain parts of the country is a bad word. It's not inclusive enough. It's racist. It's Islamophobic. It's so many terrible things. And as I say, when I hearken back to my youth, I just remember it as being great, being just an amazing time. You're off of school. You're going to get presents. Your family is there. There's a little bit more niceness in the streets. So I walk around now, and what do I see? I see soldiers with automatic weapons. I see cement barriers that are set up everywhere to protect people that are just trying to shop and walk around and enjoy the sights and see the tree here and celebrate Christmas. Signs everywhere. See something, say something. There's an overhanging threat, a black cloud hovering over Christmas now. Everywhere. And this isn't exclusive to New York. This is every city. London. You see these same barriers. And look, they paint them red and white like they're supposed to be festive. This is a constant reminder that there are people out there and cultures out there that want us dead and want our traditions wiped from the face of the earth, including, yes, of course, Christmas. There's people in this very country that sympathize with that, that also want our traditions and cultures wiped away. When you used to come in to a big city and celebrate Christmas, at least like I said, when I was a kid back in the late 60s, early 70s, you only thought about Christmas and how much fun it was. And to walk around now and see the tree and the decorations and everything, it seemed to be, you still capture a little of that, but when you see men walking around, various branches of the military and the police forces walking around with automatic weapons, it's a constant reminder. And that's, it's just a sad thing that we need to be constantly reminded, even at this time of year, that there are cultures that want to eliminate everything that we hold dear and that is a tradition. There you go. That's great. And that's a tradition to America. That one of the many traditions that we built this country on. And that separates us from other countries and other cultures. You hear liberals constantly saying, live and let live. Let's be tolerant. We must accept this and that. Well, why are traditional American traditions the thing that can be sacrificed with impunity? And the second you start defending them, you are either a racist or homophobic or Islamophobic, something, some kind of phobic or ist. When you're only defending traditions that you remember and that were great. When I think back to this country, the traditional Christmas with your family, going out on in the city and seeing all the amazing things as a kid. Can we get back to that? I have no idea. Be back in moments. Don't go anywhere. Anthony Cumia, Infowars.com. Welcome back. Anthony Cumia in at Infowars.com. Of course, the holiday season, Christmas time. And what would any Christmas be without... the progressives trying to destroy our traditions. It is amazing. Christmas is a holiday that is just fair game for anyone, any group that wants to trod upon it, trounce it, denounce it, twist it and turn it till it's barely recognizable to the offense of people that hold it dear. As a tradition to them. But again, people that celebrate Christmas traditionally through the liberal left, what we've seen from progressives, are the most intolerant people. So intolerant. Yet they happen to be the most tolerant people ever because no one's rioting when these people just trounce on our traditions. You don't see riots. You don't see people murdering or beating people in the streets because we've been offended by some of these things. I'm going to tell you a little story here, and I want you to insert Muhammad in here, or Islam, or any other religion, really. CNN was hyping a new children's book. Isn't that adorable? A children's book about Santa. This is great, right? We suppose there's supposed to be some sort of shock factor involved in learning there's a children's book called Santa's Husband, in which Santa is black and gay. But frankly, now that we're aware of it, we'd be more surprised if there wasn't such a thing. Would we? Would we be more surprised if there wasn't such a thing as Santa's husband, where Santa is black and gay? After seeing the gaytivity scene with two Josephs, the gaytivity scene, why do they always pick these Christianity? Whenever a group wants to crap all over a religion, it will always be Christianity. And the traditional holidays and services, figures, religious figures of Christianity constantly. They are able to make Santa Joseph gay. Change their race. Make them gay. Which would be an affront to, oh my God. Could you imagine? Look, I don't know if this is proper to say, but just imagine you did Ho-Mohammed. Do you think that would fly? Do you think everyone involved with doing something like that would need to strap on Kevlar to go to work every day, lest they be gunned down or blown up? I do. I absolutely do. You know why? Intolerance. We talk about, or the progressives talk about Christianity and Christmas and all of the holidays pretty much, and our traditions and basic values of Christianity as being intolerant. Yet when our religion and our culture and value system gets crapped on, we just take it. We literally turn the other cheek, complain about it, talk about it. That is our right. That is our right. But do we take to the streets? Do we destroy property? Do we assault people? Do we murder people because of it? No, because we are tolerant. It's another one of these crazy backward world things that go on when you talk about progressives. It's just a grave intolerance going on. We all remember Charlie Hebdo. Oh boy, were they in Dutch when they tried to talk about Islam. Yet Christianity can just be used and abused by people. The gaytivity scene. I've never heard of the gaytivity scene. And now I'm just hearing about Santa being gay and black. There it is. Is that the gaytivity scene? Now, any other religion, using any other religious figures in this way, I would say that that house would be in flames in no time. But they're able to do this. They practice their freedom of expression on their own property, and they get complaints. They get people like myself and other people in independent media that might criticize it, but no one's going over there and kicking it over or throwing a Molotov cocktail through their window, because the progressives' version of the most intolerant people are the most tolerant people. Topsy-turvy, backward world that we live in. I must talk quickly about Rosie O'Donnell, the giant gift that keeps giving. Rosie O'Donnell. She's lost her mind since Trump even said he was running for president. A few years back, her and Donald Trump were in a bit of a battle when he was still with The Apprentice. And she was so angry with Donald Trump's tax plan that looks like it will come to fruition, that she offered two senators $2 million each to vote no on it, to vote no. This is a crime. There it is. She promised to give $2 million to Senator Susan Collins and $2 million to Senator Jake Flake to vote no on the tax bill. $2 million. Apparently, this is against 18 U.S. Code 201, criminalizing the attempt to bribery of federal officials by whoever. And apparently, you will be fined three times the amount of the bribe. So she could be fined $12 million and go to prison for doing this. She's insane. Much like the progressive left is insane. But I give her one pass, and it's like my good friend Michael Malice said on my show yesterday. Think about it. This is a guy that called her fat, called her a slob, said that if she doesn't watch her step, he will take her girlfriend away, and believe me, I can do it. Trump said all these things. Hilarious. Hilarious. That guy is now the president. Imagine somebody that is you have perceived as bullying you over the years and calling you horrible things, And not only do they get away with it, they become the leader of the free world. So I almost give Rosie O'Donnell a pass on her insanity. The rest of the left, I don't know what it is, self-destructive personality, what have you. But I really do hope some branch of the judicial system goes after Rosie O'Donnell for offering millions of dollars in bribery to senators to vote no on a bill that a legally elected president and Congress voted on. She's out of her mind. Thank you very much, InfoWars, Alex Jones. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll see you next time on InfoWars.com. I'm Anthony Cumia. Pleasure.